today as we come to the table.
God says in His Word, train up a child in the way that he should go. And even when he's old, he won't depart. He'll come back. You know, our kids may stray, but God says if we've raised him in the Lord, God will bring him back around like a boomerang, you know? And God will do that in his timing. Usually they won't leave, but some kids choose to do that. And if they choose to do that and they've been raised in the Lord, God says he'll bring them back. But there's a responsibility on us as moms and dads. And I love this because he tells her, you need to know he's dedicated to God before he's even born. And for those of you that are young parents or about to have children, you need to dedicate those children to the Lord before they're even born. God, I give this child to you.
When constructing a skyscraper, the crew always ensures the foundation is rock solid. That takes away the worry of earthquakes and wind causing any harm to the building. In the same way, being a parent gives you the chance to guide your kids through life and get them ready for what's coming next. But have you taken the time to build that spiritual base in their lives? Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. Today, Pastor Mark encourages you to build a strong foundation by guiding your children to walk with God from a young age. Even if they do stray away from Jesus at some point, he will find a way to reach out to them and bring them back to him. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 13. With today's edition of Come to the Table.
I'm worried about our nation. And I know that our nation as a whole, guys, we are not seeking God. Is anybody with me on that? Now, I know the church is. You guys are. And there are churches all across the nation. We're crying out. We're asking for God to restore us and for God to heal us and God to do a work. But the majority of America is not. And sometimes I look at it and I think, God, is there any hope? We're not even crying out. Even 9/11 only got us about 3 to 4 months where the churches start filling up again and our congressmen sang a song or two, right? And now we're right back to normal and we're worse than we were back at 9/11. We're still killing our children in the womb. We're still calling what God says is sin and an abomination normal and accepting as a society. We're still going down the path of sin and destruction. And so my heart is, God, what's it going to take? If 9/11 didn't do it, what are you going to have to do to get our attention? And I hope that he doesn't have to do anything. I hope he sends his spirit and we break. But the encouraging thing is that if there's a few Samson moms in here that will cry out to God, a few Manoahs that will say a prayer, Samson's dad, then God can restore a nation and God can raise people up that will lead our nation back in the direction they need to be. But part of it is on us. We need to cry out to the Lord. And notice also it says they were delivered over their enemies here 40 years of suffering, 40 years. And I think, God, how long is America going to have to suffer before we're going to wake up? How long is it going to be? Isn't it amazing how stubborn we can be when our heart is hard and we won't let go of our sin? And on a personal level now, getting it away from national, bring it down to personal. If you are suffering for an extended period of time and you're stubborn in your heart and you won't repent of your sin, God is wanting to restore you. You don't have to leave this building the same way you came in, but you're going to have to humble yourself and ask God to forgive you. And God will do it. He is faithful. He will restore you. And again, I think about America now back on a national level. I think, God, how long will we have to have a broken government? A broken economy, terrorism now on our own shores. We used to see it in other nations on the news. Now it's happening here, guys. Racial tensions and violence in the streets, and a general view that America's going down a hole really fast. And I'm thinking, how long is it going to take till we get it? When's it finally going to click in? We need God. You know, again, I encourage you, if you want to do some research, go back and look at when America started really sliding down the slope. It's interesting. If you look at charts, there's a ministry called Wall Builders. And if you look up wall builders and look at problems in America, they have charts, statistics from the government and other places that chart our country and the problems that we had. Our country had problems like every other country, but very minimal compared to other countries until 1962 and 1963. And right after 1962, we saw a sudden change in all the curves. They began to go down. And then in 1963, they began to go down again. And if you go back and do your homework, you'll find out in 1962, we outlawed prayer in the government offices and buildings of America. And in 1963, we outlawed the Word of God in public places like schools in America. There is a direct link to the downfall of America and the turning from prayer and the Word on a national level. What we said to God as a nation was, we no longer want you. And God, because he's a gentleman, said, all right, I'll leave you alone. You know, a lot of times we think about the judgment of God. I think a lot of it is simply God lifting his hand of protection. We forget God holds us together and God sustains. And Jesus is a gentleman. He will force himself on no one. Remember when he went over to the Gadarenes and the demoniacs came out and the Lord delivered them. And rather than the city coming out and all the swine, remember the pigs ran down and went into the water. They all drowned, heard their business because they brought Jesus in, so to speak. And some of the people came out of the city and said, we really want you to leave. We don't want you around here. It's causing problems. We just lost 2,000, pigs here and a lot of value. We really wish you would leave. Rather than saying, which they should have said, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for delivering us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for bringing us hope. Instead, they said, we don't want you here anymore. Notice what the Lord did. He got in his boat and went back to the other side. He didn't stand there and say, no one can drive me out. I will force my way. You will have to listen to me. I'm coming in. That's all there is to it. He said, you don't want me? Then I'll leave. And America said in 1962 and in 1963, we don't want you. I know you didn't say that. Governmentally, we allowed it to be said in our nation, we no longer want you. And we've been suffering the consequences ever since. And they're only getting worse year by year by year. And we hadn't figured it out. We think it's a new guy we need to elect. We think it's another party that needs to take over. We think it's whatever we think it is, we are wrong. It is nothing but God and once again honoring God as a nation. I believe the only reason we haven't completely collapsed is because we have, up to this point anyway, honored the nation of Israel. And God says, nations that honor Israel, I will honor. Nations that dishonor Israel, I will dishonor them. America has honored Israel all these years, and because of that, God has blessed us and made us a great nation. And I believe that's the only thing that's keeping us right now from falling completely under the judgment of God. But again, I also have, as I said, the hope for our nation, because when you see here that they're not even crying out to God as a people, that we can see God still sends a deliverer to them. You know, God can send a deliverer to us as well. But we need to be praying, and we need to be crying out to God that God would do that. And notice here in verse 2, it says, now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. Interesting here, when you look at the names, Zorah means hornet, Danites means judges, and Manoah means rest. Literally, if you read this sentence in light of what their name meanings are, it says there was a man from hornet of the family of judges whose name was rest. Why do I find that interesting? Because this perfectly describes how God is going to use Samson and really who Samson was for the nation. His sting will be as strong as a hornet. He will be a new judge for the nation that will help lead the people, and he'll give them rest by defeating their enemies, the Philistines. And how we need God to raise up men and women in our nation today that will have the sting of a hornet for God. Not in a bad way. In a good way. Guys, have you noticed the feminization of men in America? Have you noticed that wherever it's coming from, I don't know where it's coming from. Is it societal? Is it something spiritual? Listen, there's nothing wrong in being a man and being a man. And it seems like today that being a man is a bad thing. And there's nothing wrong in being a strong woman for God as well. God wants strong men and God wants strong women to rise up and be examples to our nation. And whenever you talk about a man being strong or men being strong, there are always some that go, oh, that means you want to suppress women. Not at all. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that God has raised women up to the place they're to be, and women can be very strong in leadership in the nation and leadership among God's people, and they should be. But again, if we as men aren't strong and we're not leading in that leadership, then who's going to do it? God has called the men to be men and not to allow ourselves to be feminized, if you will. And I think that's, there's, for whatever the reason, there's a real attempt. But when that happens, God will raise up strong leaders. And whenever you see a nation that doesn't have strong leaders, when suddenly a strong leader comes along, everyone flocks to them. Now, again, I'm not getting political, and I would never suggest any idea of where I stand either way. I say never. I don't think I ever would. But whatever you think about Donald Trump or not, it doesn't matter. That's not the issue here. Why is the phenomena of Donald Trump in the forefront of America now, where so many people are flocking to him, with all the pundits, so to speak, and said, this guy doesn't have a chance getting anywhere. He's an entertainer. Yes, he is an entertainer. And there's a lot of things about him that, again, I'm sure we could look at the good and bad in many ways. But why is it that we're seeing so many people ally behind Donald Trump? Because he's being a man. You may not like the kind of man he is. You may say, I don't like that kind of man. That's fine. You might like the kind of man he is. I don't know. That's fine too. But what he's not allowing political correctness to stop him from saying what he believes. He's not allowing the media to back him down and be afraid of anybody. And the reason I bring this up right here, this is not some type of thing to talk about him, is I've watched this phenomena from the outside, and it doesn't matter, plug any name in, it doesn't matter, forget his name. Any man that will stand up and say what he believes and stand on it is gonna draw a crowd behind him, because we have very few of them left in this nation. And any woman that will stand up and say what she believes and not back down, you're gonna see others gathering behind her, other women gathering behind her. Why? Because we have very few of them left in this nation. People desire leadership, and they desire strong leadership that won't be afraid. And we as a church have got to rise up and be strong leaders for righteousness. And men, it starts with you in this room. It's not about women being second place, as the world would try to place that. It's about men walking where they're called to walk and doing what they're called to do. And if we do that, then the women will do that as well, and you're gonna see a strong fellowship of the church in America. You know, it's interesting how God has raised women up. When you go to nations, look at nations that don't have the Bible and they don't honor the God of the Bible. How are the women treated? Like property. Their heads are wrapped up, their faces are covered. They have to walk behind the men. They can legally be beaten in many of these nations, because they're considered property. Now look at nations where the Bible has been introduced and Jesus Christ is lifted up. Women have freedom. They have rights. They now can step out and do the things that you can't do in other countries. But it's amazing to me that nobody recognizes that. This is Jesus' blessing. And this is where we as a church, men and women, God is calling us to step up and to be those leaders, not to be afraid of what people say or what they think, but to stand for righteousness. And God is now going to raise up this hornet, if you will, in Samson, who's not going to care what the Philistines think or don't think. He's going to do what he wants. Now, a lot of it's going to be very unconventional and even wrong, but we're going to see that because of his leadership, it stirs the people and God gives them victory. And notice what it says here in verse 3. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. How could this guy know this? Here's Samson's mom. This angel of the Lord appears and he tells her things that nobody could know but her family. She knew she was barren. Now, relatives could have known that. People in the town would have known that, but she didn't know this guy. She didn't recognize him. We're going to see later, she just describes him as someone she doesn't know, but his countenance was awesome. Which brings up another thing. First of all, she recognizes this is no ordinary man. But in addition to that, we see this angel of the Lord. And we're going to see throughout the scriptures, the angel of the Lord. And whenever you see the angel of the Lord, it is literally talking about Jesus Christ, what we call a theophany or a Christophany is what theologians call it, before he came to live on the earth as a man. Remember, the word angel just means messenger. So don't be stumbled by that. He is the messenger of the Lord. And when God speaks to mankind, he speaks through Jesus Christ, his son. Yes, he used the prophets, but in this instance, he's speaking through Jesus Christ, his son. So the angel of the Lord is literally Jesus. So as you watch this scene, it is literally Jesus interacting with Samson's family and leading them the entire time. Now, notice he tells her she's barren. She knows that, but he lets her know that he knows that. And remember, being barren in this day was a big deal. In that society, they believed if you were barren, you were cursed of God. So she's lived her life in her eyes and in her neighbor's eyes and in her family's eyes as cursed of God. Now, that wasn't true. The Bible doesn't say if a woman can't have children or if a man can't have children, they're cursed of God. But that's what the society taught in that day. So he now is revealing to her that she can have children, letting her know that. And now he's going to tell her that she's going to have a child. And so understand from her perspective, when God tells her you're going to have a child, he's not only telling her she's going to have a lifelong dream of wanting a child, which she obviously wanted, and every woman in that day wanted because they were considered cursed otherwise, but he's saying, I'm lifting the curse from your life. Now again, she had no curse on it, but that's what she would be hearing in her heart. God is lifting the curse from my life and he's giving me a child. How excited do you think Mrs. Manoah was in running back to tell her husband what's going on? So again, you can imagine the intensity of this, her heart thumping out of her chest and all that God was doing. And he says to her, now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat anything unclean. This is interesting to me. Again, it's more than the Jewish law. It's actually something we call the Nazarite vow. Notice verse 5. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. So before he's even born, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, what was the Nazarite vow? We're not going to turn to it today, but I encourage you, when you get home, turn to Numbers chapter 6. And read the first few verses of what is called the Nazarite vow. The Nazarite vow was a special consecration of setting yourself aside and apart for God. You wouldn't drink anything that came from the vine, no wine or any similar drink, hard drink or liquor, things like that. You couldn't even eat raisins or vinegars that were made from, you know, grapes. You also couldn't cut your hair. Now, for the teens, they probably would like that, right? I'm sure that Samson probably in the teen years is like, hey, you need to cut your hair, kid. Well, that's a vow to God, so, you know. But I would say this, if you're going to do that, you've got to keep all the other vows, so don't try to pull that on mom and dad. You know, it's like the kid that told his dad, yeah, well, Jesus had long hair. You know, he wanted a car, and his dad wouldn't get him a car. He said, cut your hair, I'll get you a car. He said, well, Jesus had long hair. He said, yeah, well, he walked everywhere he went to. So, but the bottom line is, that's what a Nazarite vow was. It was setting yourself apart for God and being used by the Lord and exclusively for the Lord. And what is interesting about this, again, in this Nazarite vow, it typically was for a short period of time, but he's telling her this is going to be lifelong for Samson. He's going to be a Nazarite his entire life. It's never going to end. And you know what? It's even starting now before he's born, which means some of the burden is on you, mom and dad. What does that mean for us? Guys, listen, God has told us how he wants us to raise our children in the Lord. Maybe not as Nazarites under a Nazarite vow, but God says in his word, train up a child in the way that he should go. And even when he's old, he won't depart. He'll come back. You know, our kids may stray, but God says if we've raised him in the Lord, God will bring him back around like a boomerang, you know? And God will do that in his timing. Usually they won't leave, but some kids choose to do that. And if they choose to do that and they've been raised in the Lord, God says he'll bring them back. But there's a responsibility on us as moms and dads. And I love this because he tells her, you need to know he's dedicated to God before he's even born. And for those of you that are young parents or about to have children, you need to dedicate those children to the Lord before they're even born. God, I give this child to you. Now, some of you might be saying, well, it's too late. My kids are half grown, or it's too late. My kids are gone. What do I do now? You start right now. Right now, wherever your kids are, you begin to train up a child in the way they should go. You start pouring the word of God into them. You start spending time with them. You start making sure they're in fellowship, teaching them about the Lord, training them up in the things of the Lord. And even if they've left home and they're gone, you start living that life so they see your example. Because notice, it wasn't just the child was to be dedicated. He said, Miss Manoah, and that's because he doesn't tell us her name. Miss Manoah, you need to start living it right now as well. Don't you touch any wine or similar drink. Why? Because it'll travel through your system to your child. Moms and dads, note this. Whatever travels into your system will be passed on to your children. Rest assured in that. Whatever you're watching, they'll watch. Whatever you're doing, they'll do. Whatever you say, they'll say. However you live, they'll live. If you are living an unclean life, they will live an unclean life. If you're living a holy life, they'll live a holy life. And so the directive is not just that Samson is to be set apart. You know, I'll drop my kids off at church. Ever seen people do that? No, God is saying, no, Miss Manoah, you've got to live in front of this child. You've got to train them up in the way. And we're going to see next time we get into this, we're going to see that Manoah comes and says, I want to talk to him as well. I want to hear what he has to say. And even though it's the same thing that he told Mrs. Manoah, he wanted to hear it for himself, and I understand that. We'll get more into that later. But the bottom line is they had to live the life as well, and they had to start it. And guys, we as moms and dads, we have to live the life as well, and we have to live the life in front of our children so that we can set that example for them and that we can walk with God as well. And here's another thing that really, I think, is brought out in this whole thing about God saying, make sure Samson is raised a certain way. Moms and dads, you've got to be the one to give direction to your children, not in their career. You don't know what God's called them to do. Let them have freedom in their desires and their likes to study and things they want to pursue. God's not saying make them do what you did as a profession, so to speak. If they want to, that's great. But if they don't make them. What God is saying is this: you need to direct their life in the right direction. That's why they're children, and that's why you're the adult. They don't make that decision. You show them the direction to go. You teach them about the things of God. You train them up in the way that they're to go. And you take an active role in sending your children the right direction, not leaving it up to them. Because however, again, we live in front of them, and the direction we send them is where they're going to end up. And notice lastly, it says he will begin to deliver the children of Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. That is, Samson will start it, but not finish it. Now, I don't know whether or not it's because God was going to take more than Samson's lifetime to finish what he wanted to do, or whether or not, and I think this is probably it, God would have finished it through Samson, but because Samson continued to live in sin, his life was shortened and he was taken out. If you remember the end of Samson's life, I'm not blowing the end of the story for you, because you already know it. The reason Samson ends up in prison with his eyes gouged out and pushing down the pillars and dying with the Philistines is because of the sin he was living in with Delilah and these other women he was involved with. And because of that, he ended up turning away from God, rejecting his vow from God, and dying, I think, an early death that was miserable because of what he had done. And that's a huge lesson for us today. And really what I would leave us with is a couple of questions with an observation as well. And that is this: what about us? Are we hindering the work of God in our life due to repeated sins that so easily beset us, as the Bible says? Are there things that we're continuing to do that is keeping God from being able to use us the way God wants to use us? Guys, if it is, it's time to repent today. You need to confess it to God, and you need to turn from it. But I've tried. I can't. I don't have the power. God knows you don't have the power. What God says is, you come to me and you confess it and ask me for the power, and I'll do it through you. God will be faithful to his word. He's done it in my life. He's done it in many of your lives. He'll do it for anybody in this place that believes that he'll do it. Ask him to. God wants to do a lot more in our lives, but we grieve him and we limit him into what he can do because we don't follow him. And as parents, I want to challenge us again with this: are we raising our kids in the Lord? Are we? And are we living in front of our children the kind of life we want them to live when they grow up? If not, let's repent. Let's turn to God. Let's begin to get it right with God and begin to live that way ourselves, so that our kids can see that example and they'll be drawn to live that way. As children are a great responsibility from the Lord. We have to live it in front of our children and not just say it in front of our children. And next time we get into the passage, we're going to be talking about ways that we can live in front of our kids, examples and ways that we can live in front of our kids. And we'll get into that in more detail. I want to challenge us to make sure that we're where we need to be, so that not only we're right with God, but we can raise our kids right with God as well.
What a pleasure it's been to have you with us today for this edition of Come to the Table. Pastor Mark Kirk is walking us through the book of Judges. This, of course, was a time in Israel's history prior to the era of the kings of Israel. Time and time again, Israel was in a precarious situation of being taken advantage of. And God allowed someone to come in and help the nation of Israel be rescued from slavery or oppression. Isn't this such an interesting thing that translates well beyond the Old Testament times? Jesus became the ultimate rescuer, who came to rescue mankind from a state of sin and slavery. For those who reject Jesus and his salvation, there are judgments and consequences that come with that choice. But that's not what God wants for any person. He'd much rather have you enter into the heavenly family of God, accepting the invitation that Jesus has offered on his death on the cross. If you're unsure of what all of this means, we invite you to learn more at thewaymedia.net. While there, you can click on the link to Calvary Knoxville, where we have a variety of resources available to you. You can also reach us at our phone number, 865-609-1385. Once again, that phone number to call for questions, concerns, or prayer requests is 865-609-1385. Thanks so much for tuning into the Book of Judges today. We look forward to hearing what Pastor Mark has to share next time about more judges in the Old Testament and what the purpose of each one was. This has been Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.